from my experiences in the women that I deal with, it really is more of that redesign, changing for something new and improved. Not changing who we are at our core, maybe if anything, investigating and figuring out who we are at our core, and then improving on what we already have. So I think in that sense, it's more of a, we're redesigning. We're not changing who we are, because that part of us is always with us. It's really finding out who we are and bringing that to life.
Before we get started on this episode, I wanted to remind you that my new course, Create Better Habits, is now available. And for my listeners, I'm giving a 20% off the already ridiculously low price if you put in the coupon code HABITS. So check down in the show notes for the link and the coupon code. And now let's get to the episode. Well, listeners, thank you for coming back to this episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. And I have Chris Cattagio with me. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, you did.
We just spent like literally the first second saying, how do you pronounce your name? Chris is in my group on Facebook and contacted me to be a guest on the podcast. I was super excited, and we're going to talk about why in a few moments. But I think she and I are on the same wavelength when it comes to helping women over 50. So I'm going to let Chris basically just take the floor. And Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started doing what you do, and about midlife redesign.
Okay, great. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you for having me. Well, I actually started in business a number of years ago. And for so many reasons, everything I did seemed to involve some type of coaching. I started with a concierge service years and years ago, and I started teaching people self-care and things that they needed to do to help take care of themselves. It was an education process. And that morphed into creating a senior concierge service. And from that, it led into some educating the adult children of aging parents on the best way to navigate the changes that their parents were going through in life. And everything just kind of morphed. And it seemed to follow this process of me having experienced my own life transitions. Mm-hmm. And people were coming to me to ask me, how did you get through it? What did you do? How can you help me through it? And so a few years back, well, now it's more than a few, it's probably close to 12 years, I started actually speaking about it. And more women wanted to find out, how do I get through the stuff that's happening in my life? They're all overwhelmed, going through career changes, going through changes with their aging parents, empty nest. And you know, years ago, it used to be kind of segmented. Now everything happens all at the same time. So it's like, all right, which plate do I juggle first? So it just became a natural for me and something that I was so good at because I experienced all of those myself. And so I was able to help other women, design the life that they wanted, you know, based on how to manage all of those experiences. So it was really a natural segue from one into the other.
I like what you had said about everything just seems to happen at once now, because mm-hmm. I know women are taking care of their parents, and perhaps, you know, I didn't personally, but some people start having children a little later in life, so they've got both ends.
Yes.
But I wanted to say quickly is that I have found that I don't have a path in front of me. Like, my mother's life was really defined. You retire and then you quit working and then you sit in the rocking chair, which my mother literally did. So, but for, you know, don't you feel like we're sort of caught in this middle?
Yes, we really are. It's really shifted. And, yeah. You know, a big part of that as I, you know, go through my own learning process and experiences is because of the longevity. You know, we're living so much longer. Our parents pretty much, you know, by our retirement age, they kind of figured life was done. And right. They were ready to, you know, okay, so I'm ready to do nothing and you know, pay the rest of my bills and die. So whereas we have the longevity and we, you know, we retire, or some of us don't retire, we just, you know, want to contribute so much more, and we realize we have so much more life left to us. So now it's, okay, what's next? You know, I raised my kids. I bought my house. I did everything I was supposed to do. So now what do I do with the rest of my life?
Right.
And so, you know, and that's where the redesign comes in.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. You, what is a midlife redesign?
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, there again, back in the day, it was considered a midlife crisis. You know, people went through the same stages and they found this stage in their life where they were bored with life, either, you know, long marriages or there again, empty nest, whatever those might have been. And, but for us there again, because we have so much life ahead of us, that it really is more a case of what do I want to do with the rest of my life? What is the next step for me? You know, there again, we've done everything that we needed to do. So what do I do? You know, how do I always like to say there's no age that defines midlife, you know, because I've had people tell me, oh, you know, I'm in their 40s, I'm not at midlife yet. And then I've had people in their 70s say, oh, I'm past midlife. And I'm like, you are just discovering who you are. You are just starting to question, why am I here? What is my purpose? Is there more to life than what I've been living? So I like to say midlife has no number on it. Midlife, I think, is that stage in your life when you realize there's something more than the raising the kids and the family, paying the bills and dying. And you start to question, what's my purpose? How do I find that fulfillment? How do I get to that place where I leave a mark on the world? And I think we all go through that at some stage of our life where we start questioning what our purpose is. And so I think whatever that is for someone where they feel like they've given everything that they were supposed to do, now what's left for me to do to feel a life of fulfillment? And I think that's really what the redesign is. It's trying to, you know, reawaken dreams that maybe we tucked away, bring our soul, I like to say our soul to life, because I think, you know, as we're going through our day to day and our busyness and raising families and having businesses, we don't acknowledge those parts of us, of who we really are.
I totally agree. And a couple points here when you were talking about what do I do now? I think of my grandmother who, she was married to a dirt farmer in Arkansas. And what dirt farmers are, people like raise tomatoes and corn and watermelon and sell them on a roadside stand, you know. But I always, you know, would joke about why do I feel this way when I know my grandmother didn't sit on the porch at night going, what is my purpose? You know, she just didn't have time. Probably after raising all those stinking boys, she's probably too tired. So I think for us too, it's also this new world we're living in where we have the freedom and we have the financial, we have the finances and the ability to, like you said, this longevity in lots of different ways. So where my grandmother at 70 was like, I'm done. And us at 70, we're like, we're just getting started.
Exactly.
You know? So I see that as part of the issue too, just the times we live in. So they say,
yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yes, totally. Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you another quick question too. Why redesign versus reinvention? Do you have an opinion on that, or
Yes, actually. Some people do reinvent their lives. They change everything about them, you know, whether it be hairstyles, their mode of living, you know, whatever, you know, some people really want to escape the life they were living. And so for some people, it could be a reinvention. But from my experiences in the women that I deal with, it really is more of that redesign, changing for something new and improved. Not changing who we are at our core, maybe if anything, investigating and figuring out who we are at our core, and then improving on what we already have. So I think in that sense, it's more of we're redesigning. We're not changing who we are, because that part of us is always with us. It's really finding out who we are and bringing that to life.
That's exactly what I say. And I the reason I asked is because I thought we would be on the same brainwave about that. Yes. But I think reinvention is kind of daunting for some people. Like, yes, I have to change and what's wrong with me and all that. So I just really wanted you to tell my listeners what your perspective on, mm-hmm, on that versus redesign. So, well, that's great. I love what you have to say. I like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit of what you do when you work with people. Do you work specifically with women or?
Predominantly with women. I do have some men that I work with who are really more about getting in touch with themselves, because a lot of men go through that too. Some acknowledge it, some don't. You know, some of it like to perceive it as the midlife crisis, and there again go about reinventing themselves. But for the most part, women, I think, you know, through my own experience, I really can say when I was married for 32 years. And so when my marriage fell apart, I realized I didn't know who I was, because I was someone's mother. I was someone's wife. I was someone's daughter. And for the first time in my life, I had to figure out who I was. So when I work with my clients, it's really all about figuring out who we are at our core. You may have seen in some of my programs and different things, I use the word rise. I actually had a women's group called Women of Rise, which was a total divine download, and it's an acronym for Reclaim Inner Soul Energy. And I started a women's community with that, because it was all about us reclaiming who we are at our soul after we've raised the kids, after we've been everything to everyone else, reclaim who we are. So when I work with my clients, I start with that, reinvestigating our values and priorities and getting back to who we are before the world told us who to be, before we sacrifice things for everyone else. Who are we? And what do we want? And so I have a process that I follow, and it's the RISE process. And it really is starting with that step-by-step, going back to basics, learning our values, learning what's important, learning what we truly want. Most people don't know that or how to figure it out. So it's getting back to, okay, what does Christina, what does Shelley want? Not what, you know, my spouse wants or, you know, my kids want me to do, but what do I want? Because that's when we can figure all of that out, life becomes so much easier. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of vision, I call it visioning work, because it really is, what do you envision for your life? You know, look at you 30, 40 years from now. And at that stage, looking back on what you would want have to experienced in your life and work backwards, and then you can move forward from there.
Do you find I've done workshops in the past with small groups of women on developing and finding and using your core values. Mm-hmm. And I've had women actually cry in these workshops because they'll say, these are my values and I am nowhere near living those. So there's just like this real big disconnect. Do you find it difficult? I mean, do women have a hard time really digging deep and going
too.
Beyond I'm
Yes.
someone's mother and someone's husband, a wife or something like that.
Because for so many of us, we've sacrificed our true values, maybe not intentionally, but we've sacrificed them to keep the peace, so to speak. You know, certain things maybe about our spouse or whatever, or even with our kids. You know, there are certain things that we're like, oh, I don't feel like fighting. You know, it's okay. I'll deal with it. You know, those kind of things that we do innocently, not realizing that we give up a little piece of ourselves when we do those things. So that's why it's so important when we're working on ourselves to get back to those, you know, get back to what it is that belongs to us.
Right. And I'm just hanging on every word because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that is just spot on. And I say those things all the time, but it's difficult when you're in your 50s and 60s and you've lived these decades.
Right.
So immersed in someone else's path, it really is difficult.
It is.
So, I did want to ask you a question because you had, if it's okay if I segue to another question.
Mm-hmm.
You had reawaken, refine, and redesign, the three R's.
Yes.
So what does that mean? And how do you incorporate that in what you do with women?
That actually is... part of my programming, and the reawaken is there again, digging deep for the dreams and the visions that we had for our life, maybe as a child, the things we always wanted to do that we tucked away because we were busy raising the family or because of, you know, for many, I'm noticing today more than ever, cultural or family upbringing that kind of dictates what we're supposed to be doing with our life. And so we don't honor and follow those passions and those dreams. And I firmly believe that those dreams are the stepping stones to our purpose. Those dreams that we tuck away are there for a reason. We all have those gifts and talents and things that were gifted to us, unique to all of us, and that for us to really feel fulfilled and happy and find our purpose in life, we really need to bring those to life, reawaken them. It could be a hobby. It could be something you just love doing. It's whatever gives you that excitement for life, you know, when you enjoy doing it. Things you would do if you didn't care about getting paid for them, you know, those kind of things that give you a reason to get up, you know? So that we'd like to reawaken all of those. And the refine process is clearing out what's not working. I'm a big declutter fanatic, and not just in the physical sense, but emotionally, physically. There's so many areas of our life that we really need to declutter and get rid of what's not working in our life. You know, sometimes it's a piece of furniture that has a stigma from another relationship or, you know, an experience, a negative experience that may have happened in your home. And you don't realize the energy that that's holding in so many ways. And so we can declutter our life and refine, get rid of whatever is not working, because that's how we make room to bring in more. And so when we reawaken, refine, then that opens us up to the possibilities of the redesign, bringing in the things that we truly want for ourselves, the things that give us joy, the things that give us happiness, the things that excite us. And that's where it opens our creative flow to what's possible for our life.
I tell you what, I am so inspired by listening to you. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what can I do? What can I get rid of? I'm just like going through all these things. It's so true because one of the things I've noticed, especially with myself, is that I hear the rain.
You can hear
it out there.
It's thundering.
Chris had mentioned that they're getting ready for a deluge, I guess. So I just heard it thunder. Where was I? So I find it difficult to know what I should let go of. It's like we're so attached to, I'm not necessarily attached to things, but these emotions and this energy around some of the negative experiences is really the most difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that really difficult to let go of.
And it is challenging. It is. But when you start doing the work, it's amazing, because once that energy starts to flow and you start to notice the changes, and they're subtle, but when you're aware of it, you start to notice. And it's like all of a sudden one day you're like, oh, that table's got to go. You know, like you just, you know, it comes to you.
I'm going to make a confession here. One of the things that I've always struggled with is, especially when letting go of certain things, is that when you let go of, especially something that's not tangible, then you have to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I can always say, because of this experience, I am this way. Well, that's not true. It's just an excuse I'm using. So for me, letting go of the intangible is then like, well, now who am I going to blame? You know, I'm now responsible. So I do struggle with that.
And you know, I think we all do, yeah. But I think that's part of the growth. It's learning how to take that responsibility.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't like taking responsibility.
None of us do.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's quite all right. Yeah. So that's, you know, it's an interesting process. As a matter of fact, just this past week, I had a client that I'm working with, and when we got on the phone, she's like, I'm really angry with you. And I said, why? And she says, because you brought up all this stuff that I needed to let go. And I'm like, well, how does that feel? You know? And she was angry because it brought up, you know, certain sentiments. But then as we talked it through, she really could feel the release. And that's really what it is. It's going to bring up some uncomfortable emotions. But there again, that's where our growth is. That's, you know, we need to be uncomfortable to get to that place that we find comfort.
I agree. And I want to go back to something you said earlier, this comment you made about when we're raising kids and we don't want to fight, we're just like, whatever, mm-hmm. I'm not going to deal with it now. I think we spend a lot of years doing that and just mushing down what we're feeling. And for me personally, mm-hmm. and for other women I know, then we don't, we move from that, whatever, I'm just going to give in to you. Kids are gone. Perhaps our husband's gone. And I notice a lot of women do things like they start drinking, because then they can't, they have this time to feel, but they don't want to. You know what I'm saying? I find myself in the past had done that. So it's really true what you say. I've told my therapist before that I was really mad at her. For the field. But it is, it's, you know, I don't want people, and I like how you say it, because I think some people think, oh, this is going to be really super easy. I'm just going to find my purpose and move on. But right. There's a lot of inner work that you have to do.
Yes. Yes.
To get that done.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And like you said, you know, we're so used to, you know, kind of shoveling it under. And I always say, you know, that's why so many people are so busy all the time, is because if they stay busy, they don't have to sit and feel and think and acknowledge what's really going on with them. So let's just stay busy. And then, you know, we don't have to think about anything. But guess what? It's still there. It doesn't go away. And
yeah, it's like the process you said, if you're staying busy or you're doing other things to not feel that, then you will never be able to refine and redesign.
Correct. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
You have to do all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think the podcast I'm going to do tomorrow, I think it's called something like, you can't find your self-awareness in a ball of Chardonnay.
Ooh.
You know, so we have to really just sit still. And create that within us. So I love the way that you say that. I think that's just really, really good. Really good. So
Thank you.
Before I let you go, a couple of things. What can you give our listeners today? One thing that they could do today to help move them forward in either refining, rewaking, or redesigning. What would you tell them?
I would tell them to start scripting, journaling, start writing the kind of things that you want for your life, because that opens the creativity. It gets us thinking about positive things. And the more we can focus on the things that we want, we don't think about the things that we don't have or the things that aren't working. So if we start scripting it, we can actually start moving in the direction that we want to go. And the more we can focus on what it is we truly want to bring into our life, the easier it starts to show up.
That sounds good. So one tangible thing that you listeners can do today. Easy. Yep. Take action.
Take action.
Yeah, and that's key. I mean, and I say this a lot, you can read all the self-help books you want and then put them on your bedside, but if you don't take action, nothing will ever change.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Chris, where can we find you, and what kind of things are you doing that maybe some women might like to contact you about using some of your services?
Great, thank you. Well, my website is my whole name, Christine Cattagio. I'll spell that, Christine Cattagio, Cattaggio. It's kind of sing-songy, .com. ChristineCattagio.com, that is my website. On my website, I actually have a free offering for a PDF, 7 Steps to Reawaken, Refine, and Redesign Your Life. And there is some great little daily tips in there that you can do for yourself. So just go to the website and sign up, and we'll get that out to you.
Okay, and I will. I'll drop those in the show notes so people can remember.
Great.
All that. Yeah.
Terrific. I am on Facebook. Actually, I have my personal site under my name, but then I also have Christine Cattagio, Midlife Redesign Mentor. Okay. And I am in the process of developing a women's group. I still haven't fine-tuned what I want that to look like yet. So that'll be surfacing soon. But right now I'm working on vision work. I'm doing a vision project, which is really exciting. I not only do it for groups of women, but I do it as workshops for anyone in the country, anywhere. And that really encompasses not just a vision board, but that is a whole visioning process. In other words, developing what that vision is for your life. And then the second half of the workshop is the visual representation of what that is, so you can work on manifesting it.
Oh, that sounds good. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Instead of just doing a vision board, you're going to do the work before too. That sounds really great.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, hey, Chris, I have just loved talking with you. I could just like talk for another 2 hours. I really am inspired by what you had to say, and I really thank you so much for contacting me.
Thank you, Shelley.
I absolutely love this. So I'm going to sign off now, and to our listeners, until next time, stay awesome.